Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Samach. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief, formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 16 lines from the top of Daf Samach. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Ad Eize Gil Minikim, until what age is one to nurse the child. We saw in our previous discussion an age at which time a child would begin to recognize his mother with regard to issues of nursing. Here we're asking, up till what age does a mother continue to nurse? The Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan, Yonek, Tinok, Veholech, Ad Esrim V'ar B'chidesh. A woman shall nurse her child up till 24 months. Mikan V'elech. Beyond that, Kiyonek Sheketz, Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. A Sheketz is an unkosher type creature. You might be familiar with the term Shkotzim Uramosim. So that beyond that, it's like the nursing of a Sheketz, an unkosher creature. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Yoshua Omer, Afilu Arba V'Chemeshonim. Nursing can take place 4 or 5 years. Piresh li'achar esrim v'arbo chodesh. We said, when Rabbi Yeshua says 4 or 5 years, that's provided it's a consecutive, consistent 4 or 5 years without any interruption. However, piresh, as it means separation, if there's separation after 24 months, chozar, and then there's a resumption of the nursing, kiyonek sheketz. Then it's like the nursing of a sheketz, of an abominable thing. And now we have a new geometric form, and on the side we have a subtopic heading and a structural note. So what are we going to be dealing with now? On the side, under the tatnose, the subtopic heading, liyashev stira beinin kashrus cholavisha. We're going to be confronted with a seeming contradiction regarding the kashrus, the permissibility of human milk, of a woman's milk. The trapezoid shape that you see is featured under the mivneh heading, the structural note. We highlight the expression omamar. These are tzitutim, these are quotes from Mehabraisa, from this Tanaic source. So we'll start now, another point, the double underline that you see. Hadgoshas cholov and dam. We're going to be highlighting two expressions, cholov, milk, dam, blood. And that will be understandable when we go through the Gemara. Omar mar, mikan ve'elech kiyonek sheketz. Beyond 24 months, according to the Tanakam, according to Rabbi Lezer, the continued nursing is like the nursing of it's like one who's nursing from a sheketz, from an abominable thing. So that would indicate that human milk is something that is prohibited. Viramini, we raise a contradiction from a Tanaic source. Notice that this is a long question. Yochol yehei cholov mahalche shtayim. Mahalche shtayim means bipeds, or more accurately in this case, human beings, because if we say biped, that might include some types of monkeys, but here we're referring to specifically human beings. Can it be that the milk of people, tome, is forbidden? Could it be? V'din hu, and logic would in fact lead me to say that it is osir. Uma behemo sheikalto b'mago hichmarto b'chalova. Mind you, an animal where there is leniency with regard to touching it, meaning an animal that's alive, never, as a live animal, does not communicate tumah. one should make no mistake that if one touches a hog that's strolling around in a yard, nothing happens as far as defilement is concerned. So a behema, where we see leniency with regard to contact, mago, contact with it, yet hechmarta bechalava, we have stringency with regard to its milk. The milk of unkosher animals is forbidden. Rashi cites the source for that. Adam, we continue in our brisa. Adam shechmarta bimago ein odin shetachmir bechalavo. A human being, for example, a lady, a woman that's a nida, items that she touches, vessels and food items, and people that she comes into contact with, physical contact, are defiled. So we see greater stringency in the realm of human beings with regard to their contact. So eino din shetachmir b'chalavo, all the more so we should be strict with regard to their milk. If by animals where we saw leniency, we saw nevertheless regarding milk strictness, human beings, which is a realm of strictness, all the more so with regard to their milk. Talmud Lomar, therefore there's a pasuk that counters the logic, and the pasuk wins out at the end of the day. The pasuk says it's hagomol kimal geirahu. That's the pasuk. Without translating the pasuk, the pasuk refers to the camel, and the camel is an illustration of an a forbidden animal. And we learn hu tameh, the camel and its milk, which we alluded to before in the Rashi. Rashi cited the sources, the prohibition of the milk, as the fact that the Torah repeats the word gomol twice, one prohibiting the animal and one prohibiting its milk. So when you read this pasuk, it says the gomol is prohibited, and there's a limitation word, the word hu. And from this we learn hu tamei, it's the camel and its milk that's tamei, v'ein cholov mahalchei shtayim tamei elo tohar. But the milk of people, that is not tamei. Rather, it is Torah, it is permissible. So, up till this point, we have discussed the issue and presented the contradiction regarding milk. From this point on, in the Brisa, it gets off onto a different topic. So that the main problem we see at this point, if we were to skip from here to the end of the Tanaic source, you would continue reading, and it says there at the end of the source, V'omar Rav Sheshes, afilu mitzvas prisha ein bo. With regard to milk, Rav Sheshes comments that even a minor separation, or even separation from it, from, in other words, even distancing, or one's resisting avoids consumption of human milk, does not grant the one who practices that restriction with even a mitzvah derabbanan, with even a rabbinic type mitzvah fulfillment. In other words, it's totally allowed. So we now go back to the section of the brisa that we skipped, that we said wasn't really wasn't essential for this particular flow of the understanding of the question, but we nevertheless go over that which we skip. Yochol oitzi es hacholov she'enoi shove bakol. It could be that we'll exclude from prohibition human milk where we find that it's not milk itself. Within the realm of animals, we find room for leniency. Namely, cow's milk, goat's milk, those coming from kosher variety animals, milk there is kosher. So that for us to extend leniency to human milk isn't such a big chiddush. However, v'lo oitzi es hadam, shu shove bakol. However, when it comes to human blood, maybe that's different. Whereas by milk you found a distinction within the animal kingdom, with regard to blood we find no distinction. All animal blood, whether kosher animals or unkosher animals, their blood is forbidden. So therefore, should I say that human blood is also forbidden? Talmud Lomar, who? Again, you see the word who, which is, we said before, is a limitation expression. Hu tomei v'ein da mahal cheshtayim tomei elo tohar. The camel and its similar creatures, namely animals from the animal kingdom, that is forbidden. However, the blood of human beings is not forbidden. Now, we're going to say more about the issue of blood a little bit later, and as we mentioned earlier, that's why we have this, we didn't mention the actual brackets, but you can see we have brackets here, and brackets in a couple of lines. Within the bracketed sections, the Gemara deals with the issue of blood. But for the time being, the issue that we have to resolve is the seeming contradiction regarding milk, especially through when you look at Rabbi Eliezer, who said that nursing beyond 24 months is considered a nursing from an abomination, from something that's forbidden. Rabbi Yeshua also made mention of that in the case of Piresh. In this source, we see that human milk is acceptable, is kosher. And to add to this problem, V'yom Rav Sheshes, afilu mitzvahs prisha ein bo. Now, Rav Sheshes might very well be commenting also on the issue of the human blood, but for our purposes, we want to focus on the milk point. And Rav Sheshes adds that there isn't even a rabbinic stringency involved when it comes to human milk. In other words, human milk is totally allowed. So then why in the source above was mention made of a prohibition of human milk? Loi kasha, there is no problem. Ha de porish, ha de lo porish. If the human milk is separated from the woman into a vessel, into a cup, let us say, a cup of human milk, that is allowed, regardless of age. It's totally allowed. If it's lo porish, but rather it's a function of nursing directly from the body, from the breast, then we say there is a problem. Of course, you have Rabbi Lezer saying that continued nursing after 24 months is a problem. In the case of Rabbi Yeshua, if there's a break in the nursing and a resumption thereof after a 24-month period, that too is a problem that is forbidden. So that the mother's milk or the human milk is usur, but that's only in a case where it's being derived directly from the woman's body, not with the intervention of a vessel. However, if it's drawn into a vessel and one were to drink the human milk from a cup, there would be no problem. Even on a rabbinic level, no problem. So the resolution of the issue of the milk was using these terms, porish versus low porish. Now, the Gemara comments, v'chilufa bedam. We're in this bracketed section, but now we're going to be discussing the issue of blood. We mentioned in the Tanaic source above that human blood is no problem. However, it's not absolute. It's not across the board an unqualified permission. But rather, just like we made a distinction with regard to the milk, we have a distinction, but in an opposite direction, we have a distinction regarding human blood. That's what the word v'chilufa means in the opposite with regard to blood. Meaning that whereas by milk, the separated milk, separated from body into vessel is allowed, human blood separated from body onto something else, whatever it is, that's when there is a problem. However, if one's gums are bleeding, for example, and it doesn't separate from the body, it's accumulating on one's gums, then it's okay. And likewise, if a person has a type of a wound on his arm and he puts his finger that's bleeding into his mouth, the blood hasn't separated from the body, that would be okay. It's the non-separation when it comes to blood that's okay. And that's what we see in the brackets. The chilufa bedam, the opposite of that which we said regard to milk, applies to the human blood, kedesanya, as we see in the following source. Dam she'al gabi kikar, if a person, let us say, is while eating a piece of bread, notices that redness develops on the bread from bleeding gums, so goro v'yochel, you have to scrape off the blood, remove that part of the bread that has the blood absorbed into it, and then continue eating the bread. Shebein hashinayim, blood that accumulates between one's teeth. Some people have this after they brush their teeth, or after they eat something hard, and causes gum bleeding. That blood, motzitzo v'eino choshesh, he can suck it from between his gums and doesn't have to worry. Omar Mar, a quote from above, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, afilu arba v'chamesh shanim, v'hotanya, do we not have another source focusing on Rabbi Yeshua, and that's why we dashed underline his name, that says, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, afilu chavilosu al ksefov, you can have a child that's carrying a pack on his back, a bundle on his back, and he can still be nursing. So one is given the impression that that's a different age, maybe an older age than that which Rabbi Yeshua featured when he said Arba v'chomei shanim. The Gemara says it's not a different age. Idi v'idi chad shi'urahu. They're both references to the same age, that a child, when he reaches 4 or 5, he's already capable of carrying something on his back. And that's what Rabbi Yeshua is saying, that even if he's that age, he's allowed to nurse, provided, of course, there was no gap. Omar Rav Yosef, Halacha k'Rebbe Yeshua, and we use the crown marking here. This highlights Piske. We on the side of the Gemara, you can see under the Mivneh heading Piske Rav Yosef. These are different rulings of Rav Yosef that will appear as our Gemara goes on. You have one over here, and you have another Rav Yosef ruling shortly. We have two more Rav Yosef rulings in the Gemara. So Rav Yosef here rules, like Rabbi Yeshua, that the nursing period is not limited to 24 months. Tanya, and now we go into another Tanaic source that also mentions something relating to nursing. Plus, you will see Rav Yosef's ruling. There's a third case that deals with Hilchos Shabbos that doesn't seem to have any a connection to the issue of nursing, but you'll see the connection in terms of the psak halacha, the way the Gemara paskins. So we continue. Tanya, Rabbi Merenus Oimer, goineach. A goineach is a person suffering from chest pains. It may be angina, but we don't attempt to translate necessarily into contemporary terms that which we see in the Gemara, but it's described as ke'ev lev. That's goineach. And Rashi gives a French word for what that is. So someone who's suffering from that, this ke'eve lev, yoneg cholov b'shabbos, it would be permitted for him to nurse milk on Shabbos. And Rashi says cholov eiz, it's a goat milk. So that if a person were to go to a goat that's lactating, this person could suckle milk from the goat on Shabbos. Now, let us point out that to go up to an animal and milk it in a regular fashion is an example of something that's prohibited on Shabbos. And that prohibition from Rashi, you see over here, it's called the Tolda Dedosh, meaning that it's a Torah level prohibition. However, if you milk an animal in its normal way, milk like hand milking of the udders with a pail under the animal. However, what we're describing here is the person actually suckling directly from the animal. So the Gemara explains why we're going to allow this on Shabbos. The reason I hesitate, by the way, by saying angina pains, because that might very well be a sakonas nefoshes. That's something that's death-threatening, and then there isn't really too much need to discuss the permissibility. So, therefore, I would like to retract any conviction to such a translation, but nevertheless, the issue of chest pain is what's being discussed. So a person can suckle from the animal. The Gemara asks, why is that? Yonek is meforek kilachar yad. Meforek is the tolda, is a derivative prohibition from the Moleches Shabbos of dosh. Dosh is whereby you thresh wheat, you remove the the kernel from its surrounding peel or shell on Shabbos. That's an Isur Doraisa of Dosh. Here you're removing the milk from the udders. So in that sense, it's similar to Dosh, and it's called a Tolda de Dosh. However, the yonek, that's the process, that's the procedure whereby one suckles directly from the udder. That's mefarek, but kilachayat in an unusual fashion. As we said before, the usual fashion of milking is milking by hand, or, of course, using machinery, but putting one's mouth to the udder, that's unusual. And when you do melochos in an unusual way, you're in the realm of rabbinic violation. However, uvamokim tzara lo gozru rabbonan, where a person is experiencing pain or a significant discomfort, so there the rabbis did not impose any restriction. So that if a person, let's say, feels fine and goes up to an animal on Shabbos and suckles from its udders, there he would be involved with an isur d'rabbanan, a rabbinic prohibition. But here we're dealing with someone that's goneach, that's suffering from chest pain. He is allowed to do this. The dashed underline that you see here is also explained on the side. Hadgoshas, we're emphasizing a repeat expression that you see in this Gemara. Uvamokim etzera lo gozru rabbanan. Based on certain extenuating circumstances, the rabbis don't impose their prohibition. The first example we saw just now is where there is an element of pain, so the rabbis don't impose rabbinic restrictions. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef. Here you see again a crown marking of Rav Yosef's ruling. Halacha k'Rebbe Merenus. He rules like Rebbe Merenus, allowing the yanika for a goneach. And now a third topic. Tanya. Nochum Ishgalya. Ishgalya is a reference to the place from which he comes. Nochum from Galya. Omer Tsinor She'olu Bo Kaskasim. A tsinor is a drain spout that has become stuffed. Kaskasim are twigs and grass that has stuffed a drain spout, and as a result, the water now isn't being directed to a certain point. It's now just the drain spout is being flooded, and the water is dripping off the roof from all kinds of places, and it's dripping into the house as well. So, and this, of course, we're talking on Shabbos. We have this problem of the stuffed drain spout. Mimachon biragloi b'tzino b'Shabbos ve'eno choshesh. If a person can do so on Shabbos in a private fashion, tzino means in a non-public way, he can use his foot, he can kick the drain spout with his foot, and the vibration might loosen the stuffing, the clog, and thereby enable the drain to, again, function properly, the water thereby flowing out a specific spot and not dripping into his house. My taima, why is this allowed? Answer, misaken kilachar yadu. Misaken literally means to repair something, and generally speaking, the act of misaken, where something was in disrepair and now you are repairing it, you're making it, you're changing it from a state of dysfunction into functionality, that would be a Torah level prohibition. It's associated with a malocha known as makib patish, of an act of completion. Here you're taking something that was not functioning, making it functioning, you're now completing it, and that's called makib patish. However, kicking a drain spout with your foot, as opposed to some type of manual dislodging of the stuffed twigs, doing it with your foot is an unusual way of doing it. That's called kilachar yad. That's the expression for doing a malach in an unusual way. Uvamokum pseido lo gozru bo rabbonan. And when you're confronted with a loss, a financial loss, and you're on a rabbinic level of prohibition, so the rabbis did not impose their restriction. They allow you to do this misakin kilachar yad. Make no mistake that the concern of pseida, of loss, is not a heter, is not a source of permission when it comes to melachos on a Torah level. Omar Rav Yosef, halacha kinochom ishgalia. And again, a third ruling of Rav Yosef, he rules like this opinion of Nochum ishgalia. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. We'll be referring now to that which was mentioned earlier in the same source. And for this reason, we're also using a trapezoid, a volcano shape, to indicate that this too is a quote from that source. And it said, Piresh li'achar esrim v'arba chodesh v'chozar kiyonek sheketz. This is, of course, a quote from Rabbi Yeshua, who's a shita we were dealing with in our previous volcano shape. If there is a break in the nursing, though he allowed continued nursing for a long time, 4 or 5 years, but if there's a break in it, so it's the resumption of the nursing would be like nursing from a sheketz, from an abominable thing. The Gemara asks v'kama, how long is the prisha? When we say that there was a pause in the nursing, how long a pause? Omar Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, Omar Shmuel, Shloisha Yomim. If after 24 months the child stops nursing for a period of 3 days, the resumption of that would be considered forbidden. Would be considered as if you're feeding the child something forbidden. One's not allowed to feed his children items that are food items that are forbidden. Iko Diamri. Another version of what we just learned is involves a change in terms of presentation of names or sources, but not information. The Ikodami, the second version, agrees with the 3 day time frame, but it's presented as a Tanaic source. So it's a Toni Rav Yehuda bar Chavivo Kamei de Shmuel. That means Rav Yehuda recited a Tanaic source in front of Shmuel, as opposed to simply a Rav Yehuda quoting an Amoraic statement of Shmuel. So what was the source? It's Shloisha Yomim. The 3 day figure is as the time frame that would constitute a pause in the nursing to thereby prohibit the resumption thereof. Before we continue, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei topic heading. And we've written Shior Zman Shemeinekis Shemeis Bailut Srichala Hamtin Ad Shetinose Shenis. The amount of time, as Shior Zman, the amount of time that a nursing woman whose husband died, the husband means the father of the child that she's nursing, how much time does she have to wait before she can remarry? Now, in general, a woman who is nursing, that represents, and certainly under, we'll call it, a sterile or in vacuum circumstances where you don't have food replacements and baby formulas and all the rest. In a simple looking at things in a vacuum, if you have a mother that's nursing her child, that's the child's food supply. Without the milk, the child is going to die. That's just as by way of background to appreciate the severeness. The severity of this matter of providing the mother's milk for the child. Needless to say, as we saw in our previous year's situations where the child does not want any other source of nutrition other than its own mother's milk, so then that would simply magnify the intensity and the severity of this issue. When a woman enters pregnancy, even if she happened to be nursing, in almost all cases, because of the hormonal changes involved in the state of pregnancy, the lactation ceases at a certain point. So that it's of concern for us. We have the mother that's providing her child with its source of food, that should not be altered or tampered with in any way. At a certain age, of course, a child can be sustained by other types of food items, but certainly not in its early stages of infancy. And you'll see the Chazal have this idea of 24 months as being the essential or the critical time period. Tonu Rabbanan. Meinekes Shemes Bailo Besof Esrim V'Arba Chedesh. A nursing mother whose husband died within 24 months. I said mother, let's just say a nursing woman whose... This woman is providing milk for an infant. And this nursing woman, her husband died within 24 months. Hare zulo tisares velo tinase. She shall not enter a marital relationship, erisin, nor nursuin. Erisin is the first stage of a marital relationship. And certainly not to consummate a marriage. She should not consummate a marriage with a new man. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis, Ad Esrim V'Arba Chodesh, until the 24 months pass. Divrei Rebbe Meir. Rashi at the top says, Ad Esrim V'Arba Chodesh, Shemo Tis'aber, we're fearful that she might become pregnant, V'Titzorech Ligmol Ezbeno, and she'll have to, Ligmol is to separate the child from nursing, to wean it away. Ubal Zeino of if the new husband is obviously not the father of this child, Sheikne Loi Beitzin Vecholov, that if it were his child, the father would go out of his way to supply a, we'll call it a baby formula. In the Rashi's time, in the Gemara's time, the baby formula was made of some type of egg milk concoction, or mixture. But the new man is not the child's husband, is not the child's father, so he's not going to be sufficiently motivated to supply the baby formula. By the way, we've mentioned this in recent shurim on a couple of occasions, but notice the what we call the brass tacks approach of the Chazal to humanity. And as we mentioned before, we're dealing with a very serious matter. The child's life is dependent on its nutrition. And this man, the second husband, if it's a matter of his laying out money to provide for that child that's not his own child, there's no guarantee he's going to do that. And the Chazal are quite sensitive to this phenomenon, this human, you might want to call it human foible or whatever, but the people are not going to be so quick to lay out their money for someone else's infant, and hence we let's say preempt that problem by saying the lady shall not enter a state of marriage with a new man until 24 months of nursing passes. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda Matir b'shmoinus rechodesh. Rabbi Yehuda says that after 18 months of nursing, that's enough time for the child to nurse. Omar Rabbi Noson bar Yosef. Hein divrei beis Shammai. Hein divrei beis Hillel. The machlokas we just saw, Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, parallels an earlier machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Meir spoke about 24 months, we'll see that matches Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Yehuda's 18 months matches Beis Hillel. She Beis Shammai omrim esrim v'arba chodesh, u Beis Hillel omrim shmoina osor chodesh. Beis Hillel is saying 18 months. Omar Rabbon Shimon ben Gamliel, ani achria. There's another girsa, maybe a preferable girsa, as ani afaresh. You see the word afaresh on the side, as we've written it in between the lines as well. I will explain that I will qualify these time frames. The Divrei Omer Esrim V'Arba Chodesh, the opinion that spoke about 24 months, Muteres Linose Be'esrim V'Echad Chodesh. She is allowed to marry, enter a marital relationship after 21 months of the child's nursing. And we'll explain these numbers shortly. And L'divrei HaOmer B'Shmoina Asar Chodesh, the opinion that we saw in the name of Rabbi Yehuda and Beis Hillel, 18 months of nursing is enough time. Muteres linose b'chamisha asar chodesh. She can enter a new marital relationship after 15 months. So you'll notice that these two time qualifications, the 21 and the 15, are consistently they're consistent in a 3-month differential from the original numbers. Namely, the original 24 becomes 21, and the original 18 becomes 15. Why is that? So the source explains, "Lefisha'ein ha'chol of nechar elo li'achar shloisha chadoshim." The milk does not become nechar. Nechar will translate it as becoming unfit, ruined for nursing purposes, until 3 months of the new pregnancy lapse, so that within 3 months, the woman who became pregnant, we'll make the assumption that on the wedding night with the second husband, she was impregnated. Okay, so she's impregnated, but she'll continue nursing, and the milk that she produces will still be suitable for another 3 months. So that if you are of the opinion that the child needs 24 months of nursing, if she enters marriage after 21 months, so the child will receive its total of 24 months of nursing. And if you're of the opinion that the child needs 18 months of nursing for its basic sustenance, after which other types of food will be suitable, if you're of that opinion that 18 months is sufficient, so if the woman, after 15 months of the child's nursing, enters a marital bond, and she's impregnated on her wedding night, so from that 15-month mark till 18 months, she'll still be able to nurse. The Gemara continues with this particular topic, and here the Gemara continues with the issues of, let's say, halachic rulings. Omar Ula, halacha k'Rebbi Yehuda. So Ula says that the 18-month nursing period is that which is of concern to us. V'yomar ma'ufa, lihitir Rebbi Chanina, lo seis lachar chamisha osor chodesh. Ma'ufa tells us that Rabbi Chanina allowed him to marry a woman after 15 months of nursing. Arise de Abaye, also lekame de Abaye. Arise is a sharecropper. He's a worker. Someone who's working for Abaye. Comes to Abaye. Omar Le, he asks him, Mahu liores b'chamisha osor chodesh. Can I enter the first stage of a marital bond with a woman after her having nursed her child 15 months? Notice we have an answer. It lasts a couple of lines. Omar Le, so Abaye answers, Chado, point one, the Rabbi Meir Rebuda, Alocha Krebuda. When you have a machlokes between these two tanoim, then when you deal with the, let's say, the rules of Pesach, unless otherwise qualified, you will follow Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir. V'yoid, Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel, and likewise, when you have a controversy between these two opinions, halacha k'Beis Hillel, we'll follow Beis Hillel's ruling. V'omar Ula, and we saw above Ula saying halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, Ula as well ruled like Rabbi Yehuda. V'omar Mar Ukva, lihiter Rabbi Chanina, lo seis lachar chamisha asar chodesh. I was permitted to marry after 15 months of her nursing. Kol shekein de'at li'ores, and all the more so in your case, where all you're asking about is entering the first stage of marriage, which does not represent a case of immediate, we'll say, chashash, immediate suspicion of being impregnated, because at the Erusin stage, which we referred to before as the first stage of marriage, she becomes married or wedded to the man. However, the intimacy that would be experienced between the couple will not take place until a further passage of time, which leads to the chuppah and nisuin. Chuppah is the nisuin, and at that point there is intimacy. So what your question, says Abaye to his sharecropper, is simply, what about entering the erusin stage of marriage after her having nursed for 15 months and having ruled already, like Reb Yehudah and Beis Hillel and Ula's ruling, you certainly will be allowed. Ula's ruling allowing someone to enter Nisuin. And so in your case, there's room for even greater leniency, because all you're talking about is Erusin. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, there's a challenge is posed to this approach. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, topic heading, Maisi sheposek abaye psak halacha shelo kadin v'tolo hadover sheposak b'mokim raboi. So as we go on in the story, we're going to see that Abaye's ruling that we just learned is problematic. And eventually Abaye will explain why he, what was responsible for his erroneous ruling. Ki also lekamei to Rav Yosef. When Abaye came with this case to Rav Yosef, Omar lei, so Rav Yosef said, Rav Ushmuel, the Amit Ravayu, both the great Rav and Shmuel say, Tzricha lahamtin esrim v'arba chedesh, a woman, before entering a new marital relationship, has to wait 24 months, chutz miyom shenolad bo, v'chutz miyom shenisarsa bo. And those 24 months are a complete 24 months, exclusive. In other words, not including the day the child was born. So when we speak about the 24-month nursing period, the clock starts from the day after the actual birth, and it continues, but does not include the day she enters Erusin, a first stage of marriage with a new man. So Rav Yosef, in quoting Rav Ushmuel, says you would have to, a man before entering any relationship with a nursing woman will have to make sure that a full 24 months lapsed. Rohat Basrei Tlosa Parsi. So Abaye had to retract his psak that he gave to his sharecropper. Abaye's psak was much more lenient, allowing just a passage of 15 months. And 15 months as opposed to 24 months is a significant difference in time. So Abaye ran after him three parsa is 12 mil, which roughly speaking is like 12 kilometers. V'amri lo parsa b'chola, another version of Abaye is trying to pursue, overtake the sharecropper who had left him, meant Abaye would have to run one parsa. He ran after him one parsa, but in sand. It's much more it's difficult to run in sand. So he ran 4 kilometers. Each parsa is 4 mil, so it's like 4 kilometers in sand. Velo adruche, and he didn't reach him. So as far as Abaye is concerned, an unfortunate situation resulted that he issued a too lenient ruling. And now Abaye explains what happened. Omar Abaye, and we have a long marking here where Abaye explains what caused him to rule erroneously. We should point out, just if it's not clear, that Rav Yosef was Abaye's instructor. It was his Rebbe. Omar Abaye, Hai Milso di Omar Rabbonon, the teaching of the rabbis, the ruling of the rabbis that says as follows, Afilu biyasa b'kuscha lo lishri inish b'mokum rabei. Biyasa is like the word beitz on egg. Kuscha is a type of cheese or milchiga dish. It's a dairy dish. So even something as halachically simple as to allow, if you want to say it in simple, maybe more common terms, a cheese omelet. So even something like that, if a person asks, is one allowed to prepare a cheese omelet, an egg with cheese? Is that allowed? Well, if you are b'mokom rabbe, if you're in the vicinity of your teacher, a person should not issue a ruling. Even something as simple and obvious as that, one should not issue a ruling. Literally is to permit. One should not issue a ruling of permission, of leniency. to a man when you are, when you, the one who was asked, is b'mokum rabbe, in the vicinity of his teacher. Lo mishum demechsi ka'af kirusa, not because it appears that you are afkirusa is might be like, it's like it has to do with hefkerut, which is something which is a person who behaves in an uncouth fashion or in a chutzpahdika fashion. So that in explaining this prohibition of ruling b'mokum rabbe, don't assume that is simply because of chutzpah. Here, your rabbi is here. Allow your, give your rabbi his due respect, his due honor. Let him rule. What are you speaking up in his vicinity? So he's explaining that's not the reason for prohibiting this. Elo mishum de lo mistaya milsa lemeimra. But more simply, it's because you won't have success. Mistaya milsa is, we'll say, heavenly assistance, if you will. You won't have success in what you're saying. Do'anohu gamirno lei laha de Rav Shmuel. Take me as an example. He says, I knew Rav and Shmuel's ruling. I knew about their insistence on 24 months. Vafilo achilo mistayli milsa lemeimarin. And still it didn't work out for me that I should say that which I actually knew. There's a very interesting Tosfos on this page, the second Tosfos, a short Tosfos, it says, Ki'af Kirusa, when Abaye explained that don't assume that the prohibition is simply because you are behaving in a chutzpahdika fashion. The Nafkamina says, Tosfos, there is a point of difference in these two types of analysis. Sheheicha shel Rav moichel al kavodo d'shari. Imagine you have a rabbi, a teacher, who is foregoing on this element of honor. He's mochel. He's forgiving. And foregoes this issue of his being honored by him being the authority to rule. And if that were the case, dishari, then if your consideration is chutzpah, so then the chutzpah element falls away. The Rav is not concerned with the honor. He's foregoing on the honor. So your ruling would not be a demonstration of chutzpah. V'afilu achi al yora, even so, you shouldn't rule. Dolo mistaya milsa, you won't have success. Hail the rabbi etzlo, simply because the Rav is in your vicinity. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, a topic heading. Ma dino shel isha meinekes, shemeis baila, umosra b'no lemeinekes. What is the law regarding a woman who was nursing, whose husband died, and she gave her child over to a nursemaid? O meis haben, o gemolosoi, or the infant died, or the infant was weaned away and started eating other foods. Linosei miyad. What is the law regarding us allowing a woman under those circumstances to enter a new marital relationship immediately? Obviously, we're talking about a case then where the necessary time period, we spoke about 24 months, has not lapsed, but the child seems to be being sustained by something other than her own milk. And therefore, maybe we can be lenient with allowing her marriage to a second husband, to a new husband. The Gemara, Tana Rabbana, Nosna b'no l'meinekes, if the nursing woman gave her son to a nursemaid, a wet nurse, Oy g'molosoy, or the mother weaned the child away, and the child was now eating other foods for its sustenance, Oy meis, or the child died, Muteres linose miyad. So in this Tanaic source, we see permission for her to enter Nisuin immediately. And when we say linose miyad, you understand, like from the Gemara before, that would mean that we're going to allow this even in the face of her becoming impregnated immediately. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breid, Rav Yoshua, Savu Lemevet Uvda, Kiha, Masnisa. Rav Papa and Rav Huna thought that this source is the basis of issuing a halachic ruling. They thought to rule based on this source. Omar Lahu, Hahu Savta. A certain older woman came and said, Bedidi Have Uvda, I had this case. It happened with me that I was nursing a child and one of these things happened. I weaned it away, or I had a nursemaid, wet nurse for it, or it died. V'osar li Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman did not allow me to marry immediately. The Gemara asks, V'ha Omar Rav Nachman, focusing now on Rav Nachman, you see Rav Nachman shora luhu lebei reish gelusa, he allowed women in under these circumstances that are from the house of the exilarch, the ruling family, the ruling house of the time, he allowed them, the women there, to marry immediately if one of these things happened. So the Gemara says, that's no question on Rav Nachman. Shiny Bay Reish Galusa, the house of the Reish Galusa, is different. The Lo Hodar Bahu, if let us say a wet nurse was hired by the exilarch to nurse children born in his house, that wet nurse is not going to back out. She'd be afraid to back out in midterm. So that she'll, there we have a guaranteed food supply for the child. But in the case of a common individual, if they, let us say, they had hired a wet nurse, what guarantee is there that she's going to continue nursing to the end of the full term? Omar Lahu Rav Papa. Now, here's a question. It's a long question. Rav Papi asks Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brev Yeshua. Rav Papi asks them, Atun lo tisberua meha desanya? Would you not have known that rule without the Safta story? The Safta story was a story involving or conveying stringency. Whereas they wanted to rule leniently according to the source that we saw, that's what they initially thought, but the Safta put them on track to be stringent. So Rav Papi is asking them, Rav Papi and Rav Huna, why did you need the Safta for that? Would you not have known that from the following Tanaic source, Desanya? Hare shehoisa redufa leilech lebei savir. We're going to describe in this source a large number of cases of women where you do not have to suspect their having become pregnant. For example, a woman shehoisa redufa leilech lebei savir. A woman who was constantly running to her father's house. That indicates she had poor relations with her husband. She was always running. She was always home, running home to her father. Or a woman that had poor marital relations. She had anger with her husband. We'll call this a highly strained marriage. Or a woman whose husband was incarcerated. Or a woman whose husband went abroad. Or a woman whose husband is elderly or infirmed. Or a woman who is akora, where she's a barren woman, or she's an old lady, or she's an islandess. She's a woman that never developed the physiological means of reproduction. She's what we call an islandess, also a form of barrenness. Uktana, or a woman who's a minor. Vahamapeles achar mises bailo, or a woman who after her husband died, she experienced a miscarriage. So we have a widow who's now, who after her entrance into widowhood miscarried. Vesheino ruyaleleid, or a woman that's not capable of reproduction because her organs of reproduction have been removed. All of these cases, kulon tzrichos lahamtin shloisha chadoshim, divrei Rebbe Meir.
In all of these cases, a woman between marriages, from husband one to husband two, has to wait 3 months. So here we've described a woman that there's no doubt about her being pregnant. She's not pregnant. And yet, she has to wait 3 months between husband one and husband two. And in general, the three-month figure is the amount of time that let's say you have a regular case of a woman that was married, she was with her husband, and then he died. We do not allow her to remarry. If you have, let's say, I said normal case, and normal means a woman capable of reproduction, a young, healthy woman whose husband died, we do not allow her to remarry until the passage of 3 months, because we want to establish whether she's pregnant or not. We can recognize pregnancy at the three-month mark. And yet here, we don't have any true suspicion of her being pregnant, and yet Rabbi Meir says she too, in all of these cases, has to wait 3 months. Rabbi Yossi Matir Lioros Vilunosi Miad. Rabbi Yossi is much more lenient, and he allows a woman that concerning whom there is no suspicion of her being pregnant to enter a new marriage immediately. The Omer of Nachman Amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Meir Begzei Roisov. And Rav Nachman says that when you see a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and someone else against him, and Rabbi Meir is the more stringent opinion in the making of, let's say, rabbinic stringencies, gezeros, as they're referred to, when you have a matter like that of Rabbi Meir reflecting a rabbinic stringency against some other opinion that says otherwise, we follow Rabbi Meir. And here too, you see, there's a Rashi that you see halfway down the page. We have a little star, making it easier to find it in the Rashi. V'hochi nami lo plug rabbona b'meinekes. Here too, the rabbona make no distinctions with regard to the meinekes. Shemes baila, a nursing woman whose husband died. Bein shehi menikoso, bein she'eino menikoso. Whether she is nursing him or not nursing him, so that we have. From this source, we would know that there is no basis of leniency when it comes to the rules concerning a woman who is nursing. And therefore, just like in the case of a nursing woman, a woman's actually nursing. Let's just restate what we said in a slightly more accurate fashion. When a woman's husband dies, we make no distinction whether the woman whose husband died was nursing, whether she's not nursing. When a woman's husband dies, there is no we make no distinction. And as a result of that, the source above, in which we saw a heter for the woman to marry immediately because of a, we'll say, a changed circumstance, that is not to be relied on. And you don't need the safta to tell you that. You could have learned that from this source. I just notice a further clarification of the issue of this problem in the Tosfos. So let's look at this point together. Tosfos, in the middle of the Tosfos column, Dibur Masov Yomer Rav Nachman, and in the middle of that Tosfos we have a little star where he explains, Eli Yesh Lomar, De Gazrinon B'meis, in the case of the child that was nursing and it died, we will not allow her to marry immediately, even though there's no issue of maintaining the nursing. The kid's dead, but we don't allow her to remarry immediately. Shemo targenu, we want to prevent any women that have ideas of wanting to remarry, and if they feel prevented because of the kid, they might kill the kid. It's quite an extreme idea, but here it is. Shemo targenu, she might. If a woman knows that we're not going to let her remarry anyway, even if the kid dies, so her incentive to kill the child will fall away. V'nosna v'no lahonik. The source had mentioned, and if she gave the child to a wet nurse, so there was reason for allowing her to marry immediately because the kid is cared for. But we, according to Rabbi Meir, according to this idea of Rabbi Meir, halach Rabbi Meir b'gzei roisof, but we would then say, shemo tachzor ba. We were fearful that the wet nurse might back out. So that even if the child is given over to a wet nurse, do not marry immediately. And the other case, gemolosoi, where the mother had weaned the child away, we make a rule that, okay, you weaned the child away, but if we allow you to remarry immediately, otu shema tigmolenu vadayin hutzarach linak. Another woman might say, "Oh, if the kid is away, is weaned away, so I can remarry. So you have a kid that still needs to nurse, but she'll stop nursing him when he still needs the nursing. So that when there's grounds for restriction, for making a gzera, we would do so." So the question then is very simply, once you know this source and the ruling of Rav Nachman that we follow Rabbi Meir in his gzeros, even without the Safta having told Rav Pop and Rav Huna that you can't rely on that previous Tanaic source, they should have known that from over here. Amri Lei, so Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, tell Rav Popi, Lava Daitin, we were unaware. V'hilchasa, Mace mutter gemolosoi osir. So the Gemara now rules. This is the first ruling. We're going to see Mar Bravashi, a second ruling, very shortly. But the halacha, the Gemara rules halachically with a distinction. If the child died, so we would allow the mother to remarry immediately. Gemolosoi, if she weaned the child away. As we said before, we saw the Tosfos with the Chashash, maybe she wants to remarry, so then we won't allow her to remarry immediately. Mor Bravashi Omar Afilu Meis Nami Oser. Even in the case where the child dies, that we will prohibit her to remarry immediately. She'll have to wait the full 24 months. Why are we going to be restrictive if the child dies? As we saw in the Tosfos that we read before, the fear is that if she is able to remarry, if the halacha would recognize a child's death as being grounds for her immediate remarriage, she might actually kill the child in order to get license to marry immediately. And in fact, a story happened where a woman strangled her child in order for her to be able to remarry him to someone else. And yet the Gemara says that is not going to be a basis. That story is not going to be the basis of a stringency. That was a crazy woman. It's not normal for women to strangle their children. But once again, you have this this Gemara is just it's fascinating in the fact that it even entertains this. As you can see, the Shita, for example, Mar Bar Avashi, who was a very late halachic decisor. And he said quite openly that we're worried about that. So it's not, you have this halachic debate, and as such, it's something that exists in the back of our minds. The Gemara itself seems to end off on a lenient note regarding the case of Meis Benah, but nevertheless, it serves as a fertile ground for thought. The Gemara continues, Tonu Rabbanan Haresha Nosnu La Ben Lahonik. A woman who was lactating was given a child to nurse. Hare Zu Lo Tonik Imo Lo Beno Velo Ben Chaverta. If a woman is hired to serve as a wet nurse and she has her own child, she shall not nurse her own child nor her friend's child with the one that she has been hired to nurse. Posko kimo oicheles harbe. Rashi says, Poska kima, posku lite lo mazonis matam. A woman who was given, was assigned or provided with a limited amount of food, she nevertheless is ocheles harbe, is to eat a lot. Rashi says, ocheles harbe mishala. Kidei shia lo cholav harbe velo temiseno. She should use her own funds or whatever savings she has to buy additional food to guarantee, to make sure she has an ample milk supply so that the child doesn't die. Lo yisoichal imoy devarim horoyim lo cholav. And another point is that she should not eat food items that are bad for milk production. The Gemara asks, Hashta b'no amris lo. Here, you tell us in this source that she, if she's hired to serve as a wet nurse for some child, she should not nurse her own child along with him. Ben chaverta mibaya, do I need to tell you the prohibition of nursing her friend's child? So once I tell you that her own child is usser, it's obvious that ben chaverta would be usser. Mahu detema, the Gemara says, without being told this, I might have thought, Binah hu de chayis iluya mamsi leitfei. That her own child, again, without being taught these rules, she might have gone out of her way, strained herself because of her compassion for her own child, and strained to provide enough for her own child. Aval ben chaverta, regarding her neighbor's or her son or her friend's child, ilav dehava lemoisar, if she didn't have truly extra amount of milk, some women produce a lot of milk, if she didn't have a truly excessive quantity of milk, lo havi mamsile, she wouldn't have even suggested nursing her friend's child. So if you have a woman that is entertaining the idea of nursing her friend's child, it must be this is a woman with a truly excessive amount of milk, sufficient for both the child for whom she's been hired and the neighbor's child. Komash Malan, so the source tells us that even though it might appear that the woman is self-confident because of her excessive milk production, that she could nurse the friend's child along with the child she's been hired to do, we say no. If you've been hired to serve as wet nurse for a particular child, you cannot nurse others along with him. We saw in the source the following quote, Poska kima ocheles harbe, if she was assigned a small amount of food, she should nevertheless eat a lot. The Gemara asks, Mehecha, from where will she have the means of buying that extra food? Omar Rav Sheshes, Mishela, from her own monies that she has received. And as you learn through Maseches Ksubas, you will discover all kinds of different money sources that a woman may have. We saw above in the source that she should not eat she should not eat foods that are negative for milk production. My ninhu, what does that include? And here we have a number of opinions, different ideas on this topic. Omar Rav Kahana, kigon koshus v'choses v'dogim ktanim v'adoma. Rav Kana suggests things like items that include koshus. Rashi gives a French word for that. And choses, Rashi says, asovim shel zera tvua. It's like grain sprouts. V'dogim ktanim are small fish. Adoma, earth. It might be a reference to, I don't know if it's just a question of a person taking a clod of mud and putting it in their mouth. That certainly would be no good. Might include things like certain types of root vegetables that have dirt stuck to them, and also that would be to be avoided. Abai Omar filu kora v'chavusha. Abai says even these two types of vegetation, kora and chavusha. Rashi gives a French word for chavusha. Rav Papa Omar Afilu Kora V'Kufra. He mentions that which Abaye mentioned, the Kora and Kufra. Rashi says Kufra Tmorim B'Katnusan. These are unripe or underdeveloped dates, not good for milk. Rav Ashi Omar Afilu Kamcha V'Harsana. Kamcha is something we saw earlier in today's shiur. This is kusach. It's a type of dish made with sour milk and bread. That's kusach, or kusach habavli, as is often referred to in the Shas. And harsana, Rashi says, dogim mitugonim bekemach v'tzir v'shuman shalahen. It's a fish that's fried in with a flour coating in fish brine and their own oils, their fish oils. Minayu paski chalva, the Gemara says, from amongst this list of things, there are those that will actually stop the woman's milk production. Minayu achri chalva, and some of them, the milk won't stop, but the milk will become unfit for nursing. She'll be producing milk, but unfit for nursing. On the side of the Gemara, under our nosei, our topic heading, the topic one we've already learned, ma'cholim royim l'chola, food that's not good for milk production, and number two, pu'ulos u'ma'cholim v'ashpa'osim al avlad, different types of behavior and intimacy and other food items that are and their respective effect on the children of a mother or woman who eats these things. So the Gemara continues, Demishamsha Bei Rechaya. If a couple has intimacy in a Bei Rechaya, Rechayim is a grinder, so it's a place where grains are ground. Let's say they may have had some type of facility, a hut, a little housing for a grindstone. So if a couple has intimacy there, Havalu Boni Nichvi, that could result in children that suffer from this ailment called nichbi. Nichbi is some type of disease. It's called machlas hanafila, the falling sickness. Some like to associate that with epilepsy, but we in Gemara markings, as you probably know well, avoid committing ourselves to translations of many terms that you find in the Talmud that are associated with botany and animals and other medical phenomenon. So we will leave it as machlas hanafila, an ailment involving falling. The mishamsha al ara, a couple that has their intimacy on the floor, on the ground, havu la boni shamuti. Children with long necks could result, and this idea of long necks is considered a mum, a blemish. The darcha al doma de chamra, a woman who tramples over donkey blood, havu la boni girdani. That could result in children that are girdani. Rashi says, Adam shin nimrat saris rosho o bal gerev. A person who's loses his head hair, or a bal gerev, another type of blemish. The Gemara continues, the ochla chardala, havu la boni zilzalni. A woman who eats chardala, some like to translate that as referring to mustard or mustard seeds, that results in children that are ravsonim, ravenous type children. The ochla tachli, havu la boni dulfani. A woman who eats tachli, tachli is a type of vegetation, that results in children that are dulfani. Rashi says, einayim zolfos mayim tomid, teary-eyed children. The ochlo munini, a woman who eats that, she's on a regular basis eats small fish. Havu la boni mitzitzi aine. Children that suffer from some type of eye twitch. Rashi says, ein of perchos v'noz tamid, eyes that are constantly, the eyelids are constantly opening and closing and in constant movement. So it sounds something along the lines of an eye twitch. The ochlo gargushta, Havlu boni mechori, a woman who eats gargushta. Rashi says adoma. We saw that referred to before in terms of milk production. one who eats dirt or clay will result in children that are mechuari, that are ugly. Tishas yoshichra havu la boni uchmi, a woman who is regular in drinking beer will have children of uchmi, is black or dark or poor complexion. The ochlo bistro vishas yochamra, a woman who is accustomed to eating meat and drinking wine, havu la boni, and we continue at the top of Samach Aleph, bori. Bori means healthy. The ochla bei'e, havu la boni einini, a woman who eats eggs will have children with large eyes. The ochla kavri, havu la boni chinini, a woman who eats fish will have pleasant looking children. Rashi says ba'alei chen, children with grace. The ochla karpasa, havu la boni zivsani, a woman eats carpaccio, it's a type of vegetation. Rashi uses a French word here, and she'll have children with a type of, say, radiance about them. The ochla kuzbarta, havu lo boni bisrani, a woman who eats kuzbarta. Once again, Rashi gives a French word for that. The word sounds like oleander, but whatever it is, that will result in children that are called bisrani, fleshy children. The ochla esroga havlo boni rechani, a woman who eats esrog will have fragrant children. Barte de shavur malka ochla bo imo esroga, the daughter of the Persian monarch Shavur Malka, her mother, in other words, the king's wife, had been a woman who ate esrog. Ochla bo imo esroga, the child's mother ate esrog, v'havu maski lo lekamei avua b'reish rechani, and they would bring his daughter to the father, to the king, amongst the, at the head of the different fragrances that the king enjoyed smelling. So she was brought as the first one, as we said before, that children whose mothers consumed esrogim results in the children's becoming fragrant. Omar Ravuna. Bodak lon Rav Huna bar Chinina. Rav Huna tells us that Rav Huna bar Chinina tested them out. Bodak lon, he tested them out in the following scenario. He omeris lohanik, vu omer shalo lohanik. If the woman says she wants to nurse the child, and the husband says, I don't want you to nurse the child, shomin lo, we listen to her. Why? Tsara didahu. It's her pain. The milk accumulation in the woman's body, unless it's released, results in physical pain, and hence the husband has no right or control over her bodily pain to tell her not to nurse. Who omer lohanik viomer shelo lohanik mahu? If the husband says I want you to nurse, and the wife says no, I don't want to nurse, mahu? What is the din? And kol hecha delav urcha. If it's not the practice of her family to nurse their children, then shomin law, then she wins out. If she doesn't want to nurse, that's simply in continuation with the practice that she for the family from which she comes, that they don't nurse their children. How is the children sustained? So we saw other possibilities. Wet nurses were hired, milk substitutes were provided. Whatever the case is, when it comes to the bottom line, does she have the right to say, I don't want to nurse? Yes, because that's her family's way. Of course, here let's make the assumption that we're dealing with the mother and father of the child. It's the father of the child. So where the fear we saw before of providing a milk substitute, the fear that it won't be provided for, that was when you were dealing with a man other than the child's father. Here we're dealing with the father of the girl. So if he doesn't want the child to be nursed, he'll go out of his way to provide some type of alternative supply. So if it's her family's way not to nurse, she can say, I don't want to nurse. He urcha v'hu lav urche mai. Let us say it's her way, her family's way to nurse, and that the husband's family and his family, they do not nurse. And once again, you're dealing with a case where he is saying, I want you to nurse. And so he is saying something that's unusual from his family standpoint. And she is saying that I don't want to nurse, which is unusual from her family standpoint. As we just said, that it's her family's way to yes nurse, and she's saying she doesn't want to. And it's his family's way that there is nursing, and he is saying, I should we have to correct ourselves, we were a little inaccurate. He's saying that we're okay. That he's saying lahonik, and it's not his family's way. So bosur diday azlinon or bosur dido azlinon, who should we follow over here in this case? Upashitno le meha, and this of course was Rav Huna bar Chinuna telling us how we answered Rav Huna's test. He says, I answered this question from the following. Oila imoi vieno yoredes imo. She can get the benefits of what his ways are, but she doesn't have to lose out. So in this case, she was marrying into a family where it was lav urche, it wasn't his family's way. So that she is able to benefit from the benefits of his family. So that's what olimo means. If there are benefits that she has to receive from his family, she goes up, but she doesn't go down. She doesn't have to lose out because of his practices. So therefore, if it's to her benefit, or her desire is not to nurse, and in fact it was his family's way of not nursing, she'll be able to maintain her position based on this idea of oila imoy veino yoredes imoy. Omer Rav Huna, micro, what's the basis of that idea that a woman when she marries, she's entitled to look forward to benefits that his family represents, but not any losses that they may represent. The pasuk says, "Vehi bu'ulas baal," and we darshan this be'aliyoso shabal v'lo biridoso shabal. She's entitled to benefit from those things that are beneficial, not those things that are negative. Rabbi Lozer Omar Mehocha, a second source for this idea. The pasuk says regarding Chava, kihi hoisa ein kol chai. And we darshan this pasuk, lechayim nitno velo letzar nitno. The woman is entitled to benefit from chayim, from those things that are life-giving, that are beneficial, but not to experience things that will be the source of pain or discomfort. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.